4 years later, and what, a billion rand. The final of the state capture reports was given or handed over to the presidency at an official ceremony last night. And they've been trawling through it all night. Our ace reporters, our crack team from Eyewitness News is here in the studio. Teto Matlakwana, Bernadette Wicks and Tsidi Madia. Thank you so much for joining us in studio. You guys haven't slept a wink. Are those rings under your eyes, I see? Let's get straight into it. Teto, I suppose let's start with you. The overarching thing that a lot of people will be talking about is the cost to uncover all of this.
And sadly, Bongani, we still do not have the actual overall figure, because the commission could only go so far in discerning just how much went into the Gupta's pockets, or the Gupta criminal enterprise, as they call it, throughout the entire period that the state was being looted. So the figure they come to, and this is a very conservative estimate, that is about 15.5 billion rand. And that is, of course, including also the 8.1 billion rand that was paid to them through kickbacks. And that, of course, still does not give us the full picture that we wish to see. There's about eight categories that the commission looked into around how the monies were lost to state capture, and they only could give us details into one of those.
I likened Jacob Zuma a little earlier on to Judas Iscariot. He betrayed not only the democracy that we have, but he betrayed the struggle, because, you know, he wasn't just somebody who looked the other way. He deliberately went out of his way to aid them and to shield the Guptas.
I'm going to read you something very quickly, Bongani, and it's one of the most heartbreaking sentences, or paragraphs rather, that you'll find in the report. It says, it is most painful to learn that someone from another country who came to our country and did the things that the Gupta family members did to us as South Africans in this country came to the conclusion that South African officials not only can be bribed, but can simply be bribed by a free meal or a drink. And that's how low the Guptas thought of us as South Africans. And this was because of their experience with those that, you know, were close to them, including Jacob Zuma.
For a cheap plate of food.
Of curry.
Who can forget Claudi Motsoeneng, right? Saying that he and the former CEO were often at the Saxon World compound because there was good curry there. For a plate of food.
I actually think I'm going to break down when I get home over this, because I can't. For the life of me, I cannot. We have such crises in this country, and people have so much already. They get overinflated salaries for doing nothing, yet they still think it's befitting to sell us for a plate of curry and a glass of whiskey.
Jeepers, it's just really shocking. All right, Bernadette, let's bring you into the conversation, because, of course, we can't forget ongoing matters. The name Ace Magashule bobbing up again once in the news cycle, but specifically that Vrede dairy farm saga. Again, more heartbreak, certainly for those farmers from whom that opportunity was taken.
Absolutely. We know that the Vrede dairy farm project was meant to benefit poor black farmers, and it was supposed to empower them, and it was supposed to upskill them, and it was supposed to be this fantastic social upliftment project in theory, and it was the opposite of that. From what we know, hundreds of millions of rands that were supposed to go towards that ended up being channeled and diverted into the Guptas' accounts and into their affiliates' accounts, and really funding the Sun City wedding, from what we know. And there's been a lot of pressure for Ace Magashule to face criminal charges in connection with that. We know that some people are facing criminal charges over that case, but he isn't at the moment. He has been facing charges over the asbestos housing saga. But now, obviously, he's going to potentially be facing charges over this as well, after the commission's recommended that they investigate him.
Jacob Zuma knew, and of course he would have, about the Waterkloof landing ahead of time.
Absolutely. He's been, since it's happened, really, he's stuck to this line that he had no idea about it beforehand. He didn't know that where they were going to land. He didn't even know there was going to be a landing. And Zondo in this report, I mean, I think most of South Africa wasn't buying that. But Zondo in this report has kind of put the final nail in the coffin. He said, that's absolutely not true. We don't buy it at all. It's so obvious. Because of the historical relationship that Zuma had with the Guptas, he was saying it's so likely that he would have known. And it's very unlikely that they wouldn't have told him, considering how they flaunted their relationship with the then president.
Of course, he made it possible. Now, Tsidi Madia, you're a keen watcher of the governing party. They really emerge from this dirtier than we would have believed, if that were possible.
Absolutely. I wanted to be shocked, but it's very hard to be shocked if you're watching the ANC on a day-to-day basis. I think it's interesting reading part of the commission's report where it speaks about disciplinary issues in the ANC, how there are no internal systems to control members. But we see it outside as journalists when you're watching and dealing with the arrogance of particular leaders in the ANC and the continued talk about particular issues that don't ever get resolved. So when you're reading that from the disciplinary committee's reports from 2014 until now, the misdemeanors that are listed are things like offending party members, you know, insulting party members, and corruption doesn't feature at all. Yet this is the same party that over and over again speaks about how it's fighting so hard to deal with this particular issue.
Because it would be a mistake to make state capture only about Jacob Zuma.
Absolutely. I think to isolate one ANC leader out of all of them is always a mistake. You must always remember about the ANC's ability to rally around itself, you know, to huddle back into itself and protect itself. And we've seen that happen time and time again under Jacob Zuma's watch. And I think by a large degree, we are seeing it happening now with Cyril Ramaphosa, who's now in charge, that the ANC tends to draw itself back in to protect the organization over and above everything else. The report in and of itself says, you know, the ANC kind of functioned to serve its own interest above everybody else that it was meant to be serving as a governing party.
Does Cyril Ramaphosa dodge culpability here?
I don't think so. I think Cyril Ramaphosa, I remember watching him at the commission last year, beating his chest that I am the first sitting president to come out and be and to take responsibility and to be questioned. But I remember walking away feeling like I'm not convinced by the arguments that he puts forward about what he didn't know. And similarly, in the report, neither is Zondo, saying, I don't understand how you say you learned about state capture from journalists and civil society. It makes no sense. You were there. It makes no sense that you didn't take proper action when you were there, saying, you know, he gave five scenarios, saying he had five options. He decided to stay and to resist. But actually, that's the political considerations that were being put forward by Ramaphosa. And you get a sense of that too. And then what you also pick at when you are reading the report is where he lied. I'm thinking now a lot about Arthur Fraser and David Mashobo, who to date, Mashobo serves under Ramaphosa as a deputy minister. You go then, you ask, but you ask for a high level panel reporting to these people. These people are found wanting. They're found wanting. You can't come here to us with no answers and said, I'm waiting for the state capture commission to be done. And they were like, but you've asked for these people to do the work into the state of the SSA. And what went wrong? Why are they still there? No proper answers from the president.
Will he rue the day that he decided to stick with this unity message, right? To keep these people inside the tent, because the proverbial wisdom is, right, you don't want them, as it were, you know, throwing mud from outside. Well, they were doing it from inside.
You know, Mangani, I think he's had that day and then some, to be brutally honest with you. I think he's had an incredibly difficult presidency. They are out to get him from within the organization. Those who are at odds with Ramaphosa don't stop putting up a fight. And I think there must be moments where he thinks, I could have just stuck to business and not bothered myself with the party.
Is Arthur Fraser in trouble?
I think Arthur Fraser might be in trouble, but it depends on what happens with the state. We've all been waiting for action, waiting for action, waiting for action. So we don't know as yet.
One of the things that is also something that we must be careful to do is to not just think about this in terms of seeing it in the rearview mirror, but look ahead. And Bernadette Prasa, the recommendation that the Passenger Rail Agency of South Africa needs its own commission of inquiry. And I suspect not only for what happened in the past, for what might very well be happening now.
Absolutely. So Zondo, in his fifth report, I think that the Prasa findings spanned, or the Prasa evidence and the findings spanned about 240 pages. But right at the end of that section, he said, despite this, despite the fact that we sat for so many days listening to Prasa related evidence, I still feel like there's a lot to uncover. And over and above that, he said, if I don't make this recommendation, I fear that Prasa will really never recover. And so, yes, he's recommended that a special commission be set up specifically to look at how the state rail agency was really driven into the ground.
And Teto, it wasn't just PRASA. I mean, the SABC, right? The machinations that happened there and the hollowing out of the public broadcaster.
Through such the most arbitrary ways possible. I mean, the public broadcaster has a mandate, a clear one at that. Inform, educate, entertain the public. Very clear. The Broadcasting Act is clear. Then the SABC goes and gets into this agreement with then TNA, the New Age newspaper, and has this breakfast briefings where ministers, government officials, CEOs of public enterprises would come and actually pay for the SABC to carry its communication to the public, the most mundane of their mandates. Then Lula Mamukobo comes and says, I signed that contract with TNA because I thought it would protect us from any undue, you know, stress or any issues. And at the bottom of it, you go on to expand this contract beyond its terms and you give all this money to TNA and take
up presidency does and doesn't do you right. But then also spoke about the dilemma that MPs face. Members of parliament are beholden to the party line argument. We've heard it time and memorial. In fact, I've said it is why Jacob Zuma survived all those motions of no confidence that he faced. So now the suggestion, the recommendation and suggestion is that maybe there should be a consideration that MPs should be directly elected to parliament, that they should be representing their constituencies that have sent them there and their interests and nothing else should matter, because at the moment they're at odds between the party's demands versus what the constitution and their oath asks of them in parliament. So that's one of the dilemmas. And of course, Bongani, this opens up that big conversation around whether or not one day we'll be able to elect our own president directly, as opposed to relying on the party system and saying that there is a great advantage to moving away from this current system.
My thanks to all three of you. Absolutely fantastic reporting, helping us wade through these complicated matters. That is our ace team from Eyewitness News, Teto Matlakwane, Tsidi Madia, and Bernadette Wicks.